Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Odorico, and right alongside, of course, each and every week is none other than Legends Tour player and LPGA professional Cindy Miller. Welcome back, Cindy.
Well, thank you, Ted. How are you?
Well, I'm glad and happy that you're back on the scene. It's been a kind of a rough 2 weeks. I held down the fort, of course, but it's always good to have you alongside here each and every week. So I'm glad you're back. So welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Of course, we're live as, yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you back. It was I gotta be honest, I missed you the last couple of weeks on the show. It was a little bit lonely here on the network, but I'm glad to have you back here and really excited about this morning's show. All right, just to remind everybody, we are live every Tuesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the BlogTalkRadio.com network, and obviously, best way to find us, go to BlogTalkRadio.com/Women of Golf, or just type Women of Golf up in the search key, and that'll take you to the main page. If you can't join us live on Tuesday mornings, not to worry, just visit that page again and scroll down to the on-demand section. And of course, as I've mentioned many times before, all of the shows are auto-recorded, so you can listen when it's convenient for you. You can also go to Stitcher.com, iTunes.com, and now TuneIn.com as well. And again, just type in Women of Golf, and that will take you to the pages there, and you can listen to the show when it's convenient for you. Always love to hear from you. We're glad if you decide to call in. The number, of course, is area code 347-945-5855. If you want to speak with any of the guests or talk to Cindy or I, we're always glad to hear from you. You can also reach out on our email address if you want to contact either Cindy or I. And Cindy's email, of course, is cindy@cindymillergolf.com, and mine is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. As I mentioned, Cindy, we got a great show this morning. Joining us here in just a moment is going to be Mike Nichols, the Chief Business Officer of the LPGA Symetra Tour. And then a little bit later on, we're going to have a Symetra Tour player, Avery George, just back off of some injuries. She's going to be playing in her first event of 2018 here coming up this weekend. So I'm sure she's very, very excited to get back out there and battling it against her fellow competitors. But Cindy, very quickly, before we bring Mike on and before I tell a little bit about him, you've been gone for a couple of weeks. What have you been up to?
Well, Alan and I went to Orlando to Orange County National, where we filmed a Golf Channel segment. We did a boot camp with a bunch of people from all over the country. And then we did some more golf tips for the Golf Channel and did some stuff with Revolution Golf and Martin Hall. And then we filled in some tips for Phase Golf, which is the women's online teaching program. So we really packed it in. And we also babysit our granddaughter, because our daughter and son-in-law work at Golf Channel, and our daughter got stuck in Morocco. The Air France flight, the pilot went on strike just as they were ready to board. So it's a good thing we were down there. And then Ben was out at the long drive shoot for the Golf Channel, so it was good Grammy and Grampy were there. So we had a great time. We're back in Buffalo, and the sun is actually out today. We're going to teach golf lessons outside, which is going to be awesome.
Wow, fantastic. Well, about time. I know you've been itching to get some good weather up there, and it's been kind of a funny spring, even here in Florida. I'm obviously up in the northwest part of Florida, but it's just been kind of a crazy season this year. It's just sort of back and forth between cold and warm. So I'm excited both here today as well. This week's going to be up in the 80s, so I'm glad about that, and I'm happy that you're going to be having some good weather up your way to get outside. So as I mentioned, we've got a great guest to start the show off this morning. Of course, Mike Nichols, has been the chief business officer of the Symetra Tour since July of 2012. Prior to that, he served as the VP of Tournament Business Affairs at the LPGA, as well as the championship director of the 2005 U.S. Senior Open. So he was actually going to be here last week, but he had to head out to San Francisco for a little business out there, and he wasn't able to join us. So he's here this week, live with us this morning. Good morning and welcome, Mike.
Good morning to both you, Ted, and Cindy. Thanks, thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. Cindy, go ahead and start things off. Hi, Cindy, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ted. You didn't lose me.
Okay.
Okay, you know
okay,
what?
I had
put myself on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay.
Can you guys?
Go ahead.
I had muted
can.
Myself.
Go ahead.
I've been told to mute myself many times, so I was doing that all by myself. Anyway, I'm sorry. So I really appreciate what you do for the LPGA, but I do not envy you in the least. Can you please tell us what your job description is?
Sure. So it's really, it's chief business officer, but for the most part, it's, I guess the simplest way is ensuring that the ladies have a place to play on the Symetra Tour in a way that at the end of the season we can identify the top 10 players to find their way onto the LPGA Tour, because it's really the Symetra Tour is ultimately the official qualifying tour of the LPGA. So we'll play 21 times around the country, and at the end of that year, the top 10 will graduate automatically onto the LPGA Tour and have full LPGA Tour status. So really what I'm trying to do as well as the rest of the team is to make sure that we play a comprehensive schedule where we're playing golf courses that are LPGA Tour caliber, so that we're helping not only prepare these ladies for when they get there, but identifying ladies who will have success once they get there. So, we've had some success of late. We've been able to sort of double total purses in the last 5 years. And my first full year on the tour, we played 15 times. Now we're playing 21 times. And I think the combination of playing for more money as well as playing more times is helping us identify better players. I think it's helping us attract better players, because when we only had 15 events, you could play a couple of weeks, and if you got hot for about a 3-week stretch, you could probably find your way into the top 10, especially if you won one of our higher purse events. But now with purses growing and playing more events, you have to be more consistent than for a couple of weeks. And I think that bore out last year, where 9 of our 10 graduates kept some sort of LPGA status for the following year. So I think the combination of attracting these higher caliber players and also putting them through sort of a more thorough test with more tournaments is doing what ultimately this tour is intended to do, which is identify that next crop of LPGA Tour players.
That's awesome.
Wow,
can
fantastic.
I ask you, when you go into a new city, what are the benefits to the community for bringing in the Symetra Tour? I mean, I know that you need events so that the women can identify the best players, but for the community, you do so much for the community. Can you tell our audience what that is?
Yeah, and so I think where we've had success, and it's sort of, I guess you could say, not too different than what the LPGA Tour has done, is maybe a smaller at a smaller market level. But, you know, there's a basic understanding that, you know, to host a PGA Tour event, a Champions Tour event, LPGA Tour event costs a community millions of dollars. And by community, I mean just in terms of what you have to go out and raise in the corporate community in terms of sponsorships to make the events go. And not every community has the sort of, that large either singular corporation or a large sort of corporate base to be able to raise $3 and $4 million on an annual basis to have an LPGA Tour event. But there's a lot of communities that are great golf communities that would love to have one. And so a great example of that is a community where we're playing next week in Greenwood, South Carolina, which when it came onto the tour had, came onto the tour with the top purse, and because they were able to sort of get enough investment from the local community. So I think one of the things that we do is we allow communities that otherwise couldn't afford to have a professional golf tournament the opportunity to see, have these LPGA Tour stars before they sort of have made a name for themselves on the big tour. But then secondarily, in terms of what we do in with the community outreach, our players are great at doing what we call outside the ropes initiatives. So it's going and visiting local charities, going and visiting the Boys and Girls Club, speaking at local elementary schools and middle schools and things like that. So a lot of what we do is to try to get the players out into the community, and so hopefully have some sort of lasting impact to go along with whatever sort of charitable initiative the local community may be undertaking.
What is the cost? You said $3 to $4 million for an LPGA Tour event. What does it cost to run a Symetra Tour event?
Sure. So the sort of the all-in cost of a Symetra Tour event can be anywhere from $3,000 to $500,000. And so the way that is made up is our average purse right now on the Symetra Tour is $150,000 is our average purse. And it usually costs about another $150,000 above the purse to run the event. So that's everything from sort of renting the golf course, from whether it's a public golf course or a private country club, is somehow compensating the club for that, doing a little bit of local advertising in the community, the food and beverage for the players during the week of the event, portalettes, signage, things of that nature. A lot of things that, as you know, Cindy, people who aren't sort of behind the scenes on golf tournaments, they kind of go out to the golf tournament and it's all built, it's all already there, and not sort of the thought process of, in addition to the purse, the cost of building that skybox or that bleacher or whatever it is, or renting the shuttle buses to bring people in. There's a lot of expense outside of the purse as well. So on the Symetra Tour, it's just, a lot less. So what we usually do when somebody asks us that question, we say is sort of take whatever you want your purse to be and double it, because the tournaments that typically want to have a $200,000 purse doesn't necessarily mean it costs that much more to have an event. If a tournament has a purse of 100 or 200, there's nothing that says that it costs that much more to do it. But when you have the company who comes on board and says, we want to do everything the best, and so we want to be the biggest purse, they usually want to do other things better. So their parties will be a little bit nicer, and the food they provide the players will be a little bit nicer. So it usually goes hand in hand that if you double the purse, that's about what it costs to have a Symetra Tour event.
One more question.
Wow.
I was watching the MetaHeel Championship over the weekend, and it's funny that you say that because, number one, I was like, wait a minute, did they just make face masks? And if they do, they must make a lot of them. And then I saw the cameras pan, and I saw the corporate situation where they were sitting, and on the top of the corporate structure was the MetaHeel logo. And I immediately, because I noticed this because I played on tour and I realized it costs money, I'm like, wow, they really went all in for these corporate boxes, if you will. So is that the case, and who is MetaHeel?
So I was out at the MetaHeel Championship, and back to sort of Ted's question at the beginning, a lot of what I do is always out trying to figure out who's going to be our next sponsor. So I was actually out at that event playing in the Pro-Am, entertaining some prospective sponsors to possibly bring a Symetra Tour event back to the Bay Area. And so I had the opportunity to be out there for that event and learned a lot about MetaHeel. But what MetaHeel is they make sort of the cosmetic masks that you might, sleep in, or just sort of wear on your, face to make, help wrinkles and those sorts of things. But what was crazy when you said they must have sold a lot of masks during the presentation, during the Pro-Am draw party, they said that they've sold over a billion with a B of these masks around the world. So
wow,
it's just crazy. So it's not something that we can comprehend. And it's very big in Korea. They've got a lot of distribution in China. And what a lot of companies, when they come to the LPGA are looking to do is they're, you know, they might be a global brand that wants to obviously come into the United States and make a name for themselves, but also use the platform of the LPGA being broadcast to 170 countries around the world. So while the tournament may be held in San Francisco, MediHeel's not only trying to penetrate San Francisco, which obviously has a large Asian community, which is similar to where the majority of their business is internationally. But when you have an LPGA telecast, you have not only the benefit of the Golf Channel that we're all familiar with, but the distribution to the 170 countries around the world. So I learned a lot about MediHeel this week, and it's certainly a fascinating company.
I could use a few masks.
Wow.
We all could, I think.
I'm not gonna touch that one, Cindy, just because I know better. But wow, that's incredible! Billion mass, that's just incredible. Mike, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. First off, I was mentioning to you off air about the IOA, which of course is one of the sponsors. That's the Insurance Office of America, and this weekend, actually in Georgia, they're going to be having their second event of the season. It's actually an inaugural event. It's the 2018 IOA Invitational in Milton, Georgia. They had an event a few weeks ago. Of course, Stephanie Meadow was the winner of that event, of their first one of the season. And then they've got another one a little bit later on in this season. So they've got three events this year. How do you approach, or what sort of the dialogue, if you will, with a sponsor like this that gets them to do three events in a season? They obviously wanted to step up and really be involved with the tour. What was sort of the dialogue back and forth with that?
Yeah, I mean, so this is obviously a success story, so I appreciate you asking about it. So Insurance Office of America, IOA, is based in Orlando, Florida, and John Rittenour, who is the chairman of the company, also owns a golf course in here in Orlando. And so a couple years ago, he said, hey, I'd like to host a Symetra Tour event here and do it at my golf course. And so that's where we sort of started the relationship. And what happened from there is they've got business, as you would expect, sort of all around the country. So the folks in California who attended the event in Orlando were like, well, you know, what do we have to do to get an event out here? So we partnered them up with a golf course and a casino that we've been working with on an event out there. And so they took on that event. And then similarly, the folks in Atlanta, where they write a lot of business, you know, said, well, we'd really like to do one here. We've got a bunch of people we could entertain. So it's one of those where, you know, success has sort of created more success. And it's nice that when a partner, you know, you hope when you're sitting down with a partner, as you know, as Cindy knows, in these sponsorship talks, you're promising them all the good things your players are going to do and how it's going to help their business, and playing in the pro-ams alongside our pros is going to be an experience your customers will never forget and will thank you for, and hopefully write incremental business. And so now with IOA, we've got a story where they've actually looked to regionalize the experience to get those customers at various parts in the country, because the investment that they're making in the tour, they're seeing quite a return on their investment. So, It's been a great run. They're a huge supporter of the tour, and you know, second, you know, with their three tournaments, second only to Symetra in their financial support of the tour and these ladies, which is, you know, obviously we're very appreciative of that.
Wow, great job.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, the first event was out in California a few weeks ago, as I mentioned, and of course Stephanie Meadow was on the show here the other week to talk about her win. Of course, she was very excited. And then you're going to Georgia this weekend for the second event. And then I believe down in Orlando is the third, or in that area anyways, is the third event coming up later in the season. So, yeah, they're definitely, you know, covering some key markets. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, and it sort of piggybacks on what Cindy was talking about, is I'm sure the hardest, or one of the hardest parts of your job, is to get potential sponsors you know, to sort of experience a Symetra Tour event. So obviously you want to get them out to the event. What's, do you think, is part of your, or favorite part of your job? I mean, there's a lot of things involved in getting them out. What's, do you think, is one of the favorite parts of your job?
Well, so my favorite part of my job is at the Tour Championship, where we award the 10 cards to the players at the end of the season. I mean, I've got a young daughter, you know, she's only 10. I don't foresee her being a professional golfer, but, like, you know, to see the people in the audience who, you know, are the parents and the coaches and the people who've always dreamed of their daughters playing on the LPGA Tour. I mean, that's by far the best part of my job, because it's, you know, one, it's the end of our year. It's probably, you know, it's always sort of a grueling 21 event schedule. And so you're just relieved to a certain degree that it's over. But that Sunday, when we hand out those 10 cards, that makes it all worthwhile. But so that's the favorite part of the job. But sort of to your question of sponsorship, I think the biggest thing that I enjoy is getting a sponsor who's not really sure about the Symetra Tour. They haven't really heard of the Symetra Tour. They don't totally understand what it is sort of when you can see the light bulb go on, when the sort of the I get it moment. And Cindy, I'm sure, on the Legends Tour has had it when, you know, people come out and play during the Pro-Am and are like, this is the greatest experience, you know, I've had on a golf course. The Legends Tour players, as the Symetra Tour players do, make it so much fun. And so the biggest challenge that we always have with the Symetra Tour is if people haven't heard of it or aren't as familiar with women's golf, they start with a basic assumption that the players on our tour can't really play. You know, the tour was called you know, for a while it was the official developmental tour of the LPGA. And I said, look, we've got to change that to the official qualifying tour, because that's what it is. And the developmental tour suggests to a certain degree that the women don't know how to play. So there is a certain process in their developing their games that they play, but it's really a qualifying tour. But when you get people out on the golf course and the players are knocking it 30 yards by them down the middle every time, and while delivering a great client experience, and the players are, you know, people are like, this is the best time I've had on the golf course. That's probably, you know, second to that card ceremony of the, you know, the thing I enjoy the most, when people are like, we need to figure out a way to do this. And to your point, there's no better way to understand what the Symetra Tour is out than experiencing it. And so that's what we try to do. Whenever we have somebody who shows an interest in the tour, we try to get them out, experience it. And then at that point, I'm done selling, because the ladies, I've got a player meeting this evening in Atlanta, and, you know, as I'm going to, you know, continue to stress to the ladies, is they're not buying me, they're buying you. And so you know, the experience that you provide and the things you do outside the ropes in the community, all of that is a part of the puzzle that makes this something that we can continue to grow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Fantastic. Let me just throw one more in here real quick, Sunny, then I'll bounce it back to you. Since Mike very eloquently mentioned her somewhat, your daughter Mackenzie, commonly known as ZZ, I want to ask you first off how you came up with that nickname, is obviously a big part of the incentive for you to provide young women an opportunity. Is this one of the driving forces, do you think, that helps you to build this Symetra Tour brand? Is that something that, you know, thinking of your daughter, that she may not, you know, necessarily make it as an LPGA player, but obviously you want to create opportunities for her. How did you come up with ZZ first off, and then tell us a little bit about if she was some of the incentive for you to do is the work that you do with the Symetra Tour?
Sure. So ZZ is actually my son. When ZZ was born, was a year and a half, and he couldn't pronounce Mackenzie, so he called her ZZ, and for whatever reason, the name stuck. I mean, that is her name. Like, she does not like being called Mackenzie, that whole thing. And then the irony is that my son is named Michael. So if there was one person in the house that needed a nickname, it needed to be him, because we didn't need a Mike and a Michael running around. But he's never gotten a nickname, and she has the cool nickname. So that's that story. But sort of to your point, I understand, you know, like, ZZ's probably, unless she, you know, decides that this is something she wants to do, I'm not, you know, discounting her, but she's 10, and she's very active in our LPGA, USGA girls golf program that we have here locally, which is fantastic. And for anybody who's looking to get their daughter or granddaughter into to golf, please go online and check out girlsgolf.org, because they do amazing things getting young girls interested in the game. But even if ZZ doesn't ultimately become a professional golfer, I understand that these ladies who play on our tour are somebody else's daughters or somebody else's granddaughters. So it's kind of one of those where if that was my daughter, what, you know, I would want somebody to hopefully be providing her with the opportunity to chase her dreams on the Symetra Tour. And, you know, no one's going to get rich playing the Symetra Tour, and we get that. But if nothing else, it provides these young ladies with an opportunity to pursue their dreams. And if they play for 3 or 4 years and they don't ultimately make it to the LPGA Tour, they don't have to wonder the rest of their lives what could have been. Whereas if the Symetra Tour didn't exist, they would probably be in a situation where they were going to Q school once a year and then working in a pro shop or, you know, on the range and working in a golf shop folding shirts the rest of the year, and then hoping to miraculously show up at Q school and have, you know, be tournament ready to play. So it's a great opportunity. And if I could just share one story, this is the first person I met when I started on the Symetra Tour was a young lady by the name of Dolores White, now Dolores White Sutton. And I went up to her, and she came over to me, and she said, "Oh, you must be Mike." And I said, "What's your name?" And we started talking, and I said, "Where are you from?" And she said, "I'm from Lakeland, Florida." And I said, "Oh, we used to have a Symetra Tour event there years ago. Did you ever go growing up?" And she said, "Well, the whole reason that I'm here today playing on this tour is because my parents took me to that golf tournament as a young girl, and it created the opportunity for me to at least conceptualize that this is something that I could do and something I could dream of doing." Now, she never made it onto the LPGA Tour, but she'd got a full-ride scholarship to Wake Forest, which if anybody knows anything about Wake Forest, that's a premier program. And now she's working in the golf industry as a membership director of a country club. So I think what the Symetra Tour does is, you know, in the cities we go to, it's allowing to creating dreams for some of the young girls who might come out and see them. But also for the ladies who play on this tour and may not necessarily make it to the LPGA Tour, I think it provides incredible life lessons and makes them incredible, valuable employees and citizens, whatever they decide to do if it's not pursue a career on the LPGA Tour.
Right. Well said. Cindy, any final thoughts or questions before we let Mike go?
How can we partner the Legends Tour and the Symetra Tour, kind of like the before and after? Is there anything that we could do to help you?
Well, I think, you know, as you, I think we're part of our event down that we did in Fort Myers with Chico's, and I think that there's definitely a lot of value to doing that. We had an event with Chico's, the women's clothier, down in Fort Myers outside their headquarters, where we had the Symetra Tour event, and then once the cut was made, we brought in 30 legends to compete alongside of our players in sort of the final two rounds. And what we found that did was it provided us incredible exposure to the Symetra Tour by virtue of people coming out to see the legends. We actually had members of the country club who had never been in the couple of years we'd played prior to the legends show up and say, "Well, I came out here to watch Nancy Lopez. I didn't realize these other young girls were going to be so good," you know. And so I think by partnering with the legends, it helps raise the profile of the Symetra Tour, because people who might not come out to watch the Symetra Tour will come out and watch the legends. And if they come out and see the legends, they'll see the quality of play that's happening on the Symetra Tour. So any opportunity we can find to do that, we definitely want to continue to explore it.
Super.
Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic. So fast forward a little bit, Mike, and what's the long-term vision for the Symetra Tour? What do you see, you know, a few years down the road? What's your vision of it?
Yeah, I think where we are right now, we're pretty comfortable. We feel like that sort of a 20-event schedule is about right for identifying, you know, the next sort of 10 players to graduate onto the LPGA Tour. So we've played as much as 23 times. So I think sort of the 21 to 23-event sweet spot, I think we're there. So what we're doing right now is as events fall off the schedule, we add new events where before our minimum purse to come on the tour had been $100,000. You know, now it's up to $150,000 just to sort of get onto the Symetra Tour going forward next year and beyond. So if we ended up with a 20-event schedule in the next couple of years that had an average purse of $200,000, I think, you know, it would allow those players who were playing good golf to be able to make, you know, not a killing, but enough to sort of survive. And that's really what we're trying to do is, you know, if we can get those top 30 players on tour, the 10 who will graduate to the LPGA and the next 20 who will go to be a part of the final stage of the LPGA Q series, if we can have those players feel like I didn't make a ton of money, but I, you know, at least broke even on my time out here, I think that that will be successful. So, you know, a 20 event schedule with an average purse of $200,000 would be fantastic.
Yeah, that
awesome.
Would be great.
Great job.
Yeah. Well, Mike, we want to thank you for joining us this morning and appreciate you taking time out and glad to know that you're there doing some great work along with some of your partners there at the Symetra Tour, just doing a fantastic job and getting this tour really to the level that it's been and keep moving forward. Thank you for doing what you do.
Thanks for having me on and, you know, for supporting the Symetra Tour. The more we, you know, get on forums like this to talk about it, you know, the more it helps these young ladies who are chasing their dreams. So we definitely appreciate the time.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, thanks, Mike. And yeah, and you're welcome back anytime. We'd love to have you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. All right, that was our very special guest to start the show off, Mike Nichols, the Chief Business Officer, of course, of the Symetra Tour, just talking about some of the great ways and things that he's doing to increase the sponsorship and getting more events out on tour and more dollars to the young ladies. And speaking of young ladies, we've got a great second guest coming up, Avery George. She's a Symetra Tour player from Perry, Georgia, and she's entering her second year on the Symetra Tour. She played collegiately at Middle Texas State, Tennessee State University. And this week's Iowa Invitational, which I mentioned earlier, will be her 2018 season debut as she's coming off a leg and ankle injury. We'll talk to her a little bit about that. So let's, Cindy, let's welcome our special guest this morning, Avery George.
Good morning.
Hi, how you doing? Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. How
We're
are you?
We're doing very, very well.
I'm doing well.
Awesome.
All right. So, Avery, well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate you taking time out. Let's start with the obvious. You had some injuries that you're just coming back from. Tell us what happened and how long of a recovery has it been for you?
Yeah, I did. So about a couple of days actually before Halloween, just a freak accident, I actually fainted in the shower. You know, just everyday things. And ended up dislocating my ankle, having to have surgery night of, and that put me out for about 10 weeks or so. So this will be my first tournament back after since stage two in October. So, but I'm very eager to get back and started and just to see where I'm at with everything. But I feel great. It's healing very well, quicker than I expected. So I'm very happy about that.
Wait a minute. You just said you fainted in the shower.
Yeah, and this,
fainted in the shower, like something that never happens.
Now, how and why?
They said possibly dehydration and just getting super hot in the shower caused my blood pressure to drop, and if it doesn't get back up quick enough, it causes you to lose consciousness, apparently. So,
holy cow.
I know. Wow. So it's not a very cool story, but it's kind of like a weird accident.
It sure is.
Yeah,
I must
I'd
admit
say.
That my well, I had a cousin who had a husband who played for the Buffalo Bills, and he was retired and on a business trip, and he fell in the shower and died.
Oh, wow.
I mean, what a nightmare.
Wow,
yeah,
I can't believe
so
that.
Count your blessings.
Absolutely, yeah. I was just, you know, just one of those things that happens, you know, just an accident. So can't really be mad about that.
No, you can't. Nothing, you needless to say, you didn't do it on purpose.
No, absolutely not.
Thank
no.
God you're okay.
I'm very fortunate, very blessed about that, so.
Well, we're glad,
okay,
glad it wasn't
so,
anything more serious, an underlying issue. Yeah, go ahead, Cindy.
Are you playing a practice round today?
I am, just here probably in about 30 minutes or so. We're going to head out on the course and see how it's playing, so I'm excited about that.
Now, have you been to this course before?
I have. I played last year. It was actually my best finish last year, so I've been really excited to get back.
So you like this course?
I love this course.
Tell us why it fits your eye and you like it?
I think because I tend to hit the ball a little bit longer off the tee, and that helps me out here. I can reach almost all the par fives except for maybe one or probably about one that I can't. You have to shape the ball around some corners, and that's something that I like to do. I've never been one that just likes a straight hole. You know, the easier the hole, the worse off I am. So I like to play around and kind of have fun with it, and just different kinds of holes. And that's definitely something out here. Like, not one hole is the same. You kind of have to have a bunch of shots in the book that you practice. So I think that's why it fits me pretty well, just because there's so much you can do out here. And like I said, it plays a little bit longer, and I think that suits me. So
good for you.
Fantastic. Yeah, I got to agree with you, Avery. It's kind of boring hitting the ball straight all the time anyway. So this is what kind of amazes me with people trying to fine tune their game so they can hit the perfect straight shot, when really, when you get out in a lot of these golf courses, you've got to be able to shape the ball a little bit. So kudos to you for that. So this is going to be your first event of 2018, and it also happens to be an inaugural event for the IOA Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be equally exciting as well. Did you do anything special to prepare for this event, seeing that you've been off for a little while? Anything, any extra work in your regimen?
Honestly, I've actually been a lot of working out. It's a very tough walking course. So me and one of my friends actually have a joke. There's one hole out here that number 14 is just straight up the hill. So it's a very difficult walk. So we've been actually doing the Stairmaster to prepare for that one hole. So it's kind of been a joke with us. But other than golf-wise, nothing different, just my same routine. But, with it being a hard walking course and seeing as how I'm coming off an injury, it makes it more difficult. So I've really been focusing more of in the gym. Like I said, I'm not too worried about the golf game because I know that's there and I can work with that. So.
Right, right. And I completely understand. So what part of your game are you going to lean most on this week? What's your strength part of your game?
Strength-wise, I think off the tee and putting. I think if I can just find my fairways, I'll be okay. And then if I can just get my proximity of the hole, I can start making some putts. That's really what I'm looking at more, is getting that iron, my iron game tightened up so that I can hit more greens. And I know that if I do that, then I have more chances of making putts, because I feel like my putting's pretty good right now. So that's what I've been practicing a lot on. So hopefully, get that fine tuned, and I should be where I want to be at.
What now?
Excellent.
Tell us what
kind of driver
do you use?
I am hitting the Callaway Epic.
And what's the loft?
It's a 10.5 degrees. I have it tuned down to about a 10 now.
And the shaft?
It is it's the Project X.
And is it stiff or regular?
It's a stiff shaft.
And how far do you carry the ball?
I'm about 250.
Carry?
Wow.
Carry.
You ought to be
like
slapped. Carry.
I like to hit it far, so.
And how tall are you?
Probably about 5'9". I'm pretty tall too, so.
Have you always hit it far?
Pretty much. Growing up, I actually played softball, so I think that's where a lot of my strength and my swing comes from, and being able to hit it far.
I agree. You know what's funny?
Wow, that's...
I'm PPI certified at the Titleist Performance Institute, and what they say is you have a window of opportunity to gain speed, and the more sports someone plays that is not golf related, the more advantage they have. And I totally agree with that, because we've got a couple kids that we teach that don't really hit it quite that far, and they never played any other sports, and it's like you just didn't develop the speed that you need. which is really sad.
Exactly.
And you know, when I was little, because I'm old, you know, we didn't have a lot of other sports that we played. So I used to play football with the boys across the street, but it wasn't organized sports. So I think it really makes a difference. So God bless you. That's awesome. Can I buy some of your yardage? I need some yards.
I'm trying to get more.
Oh, stop it.
I am. Like I said, I just like to hit it far. It's something that I challenge myself
with.
Well,
so do I. But I can't. I've tried to buy yardage all over the world.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cindy, you buy 25 and I want 25, and even with 200, she'll still be knocking it past. That's amazing.
I know.
I mean, that's, you know, that's just, and you know, that's carry. So I can just imagine with a, you know, a little extra roll, you're probably, you know, close to 275 plus. That's
exactly.
Incredible. Yeah. So let me ask you something as well, Avery. You know, you've obviously, this is your second year out on the Symetra Tour. Now, you obviously, did you play in Tennessee when you were in college, or did you, when did you start golf? How young were you when you started out?
I started playing golf, like in tournaments, like a little junior tournaments, probably when I was 13, so a little bit later than what, you know, all of the other girls out here usually start at. Like I said, I played softball for all my life growing up. And then, I'm originally from Alabama, so we moved to Tennessee. Got more interested into it when I moved there. And so played a lot of Tennessee Golf Associations, really loved it. And then decided I wanted to take it on to college and went to Middle Tennessee. So, and it worked out really well. And I couldn't have been happier with where I picked to go to college.
Good for you. That's great.
Now where from Alabama are you from? Where's home?
Mobile, Alabama, around the Gulf.
Oh, wow.
That's not far from you,
not
Ted.
Not too far from where. No, I'm in Panama City Beach, Florida. So yeah, you're just literally a 250-yard drive down the coast, and that's not far from me at all.
Not at all. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and well, maybe for me, maybe a 225 yard. So you've obviously your game is good for this weekend. You're feeling confident. Obviously, your confident level is pretty high with your game, and hopefully there'll be no glitches with your ankle and so forth. But what's the weakest area of your game, and how often, how much time do you spend a day practicing?
I think weakest area, I always say it's putting, but then I look at my stats and I'm like, well, my putting's actually not too bad. I think it's more so of just like I said earlier, getting that proximity to the hole. Like I need more one putts, basically. Like I feel like my stroke's good and I'm rolling the ball exactly where I want to. It's mostly for me, if I don't have a caddy, reading greens. That's where I struggle the most at.
Right.
So, but other than that, like hitting the ball and everything, yeah, I can work with, I can manage all that. If I need to fix something quickly, I usually can to get me through my round if I'm not exactly where I want to be at. But I feel if I can read greens pretty good for the day, then, you know, I'm going to be making a lot of putts because I feel like my stroke is where it needs to be at.
Right. So how long do you – traditionally, how long do you normally practice a day? What's the time length?
Ooh, a normal practice day, let's see. Because I always – when I'm not just on my off days, I'll always work out before I go golfing. And so after that, probably about – 2 hours on the range, go putt for about another hour and a half, and at least go play nine holes. So I mean, I'm not out here all day long, but I need to do what I need to do. You know, I feel like I'm always one of those that say it's the quality, not the quantity. So
now, let me just ask you one quick question, and then Cindy, I'll throw it back to you. With respect to practice, you know, you've obviously had the opportunity to see a lot of amateur, you know, folks practice on the range. What could they learn from you as far as how you address practice on the range? What are some of the things that you see them doing that they're maybe spending, you know, not good quality time working on their games? What could they do better to help improve their games?
The most thing that I see, especially like at my golf course, I do watch a lot of high school players and all that. Mostly it's just, you know, they're just out there just to be hitting balls. You know, they're not really looking at an aim point. I use my yardstick avidly, so I like to have like a point where I'm wanting to hit at, so I know, you know, how I'm shaping the ball and where I'm hitting it at. And then consistency. I know a lot of players are thinking, you know, amateur players, you know, I need to hit it farther, but in reality, you know, I want consistency. I'll take it over. I know I say I like to hit it far, but you know, I'll take consistency any day of the week over yardage. So I think that's one of the most, you know, things that I see is just, you know, just kind of out there just hacking it instead of really thinking about, okay, what am I doing? How can I fix this?
Yeah, so a lack of purpose, in other words, on the range.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree as well. And I think, Cindy, you know, we've talked about this before, is a lot of people just sort of, you know, kind of rake and hit. They don't really have any sort of pre-shot routine. They don't go through their you know, routine before they hit. Cindy, go ahead. I know you might have another question or two before we go.
You just mentioned a yardage stick. Tell me what you mean by that, or is it an alignment rod?
Alignment stick is what I meant. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, I agree. And let me ask you, what's your greens and regulation typically?
Greens, average a day, probably around average, I'd probably say around 12 or 13. You know, I'll have my good days where I'm hitting 16 greens, and you know, then on those days, you know, I just haven't made as many putts. So that's what I'm trying to, you know, find my happy medium right there. So
I agree. And I need to ask you this, because we teach a lot of kids up here. What are you currently working on?
What am I currently working on? Oh goodness, so many things. No, I actually just have one swing fault when it comes to my swing. It's, how do I explain it over the phone? So right on my takeaway, I'm trying to get the ball, like my, let me see, in my backswing, I'm trying to keep my elbow as close to me as I can. I tend to get it way up in the air, which puts me way over the top. So I've been notorious for coming right over the top of my swing. And then on my downswing, I come over the top, and I'm having to fix that. So trying to find a way to get it set at the top in the spot that it needs to be. And there's a way, let me think, taking my hand back, like I'm trying to, it's kind of hard to describe over the phone, I guess.
So you're trying not to pick it up outside. You're trying to sweep it back more inside?
Yes, a little bit, exactly.
So, again, I'm just going to assume that some of my students might be listening to this, and they're anywhere between eighth grade and a senior in high school. And what I try to instill in them is it doesn't matter how good you are. Even when, you know, Alan and I played, my husband and I are the only married couple that played on all four major tours, and you're always working on something. You never, ever arrive. So I just, I want the kids to realize that this game will teach you life lessons until you die, if
Absolutely.
You're open to them. And so I appreciate the fact that, you know, you're willing to admit, yeah, I'm still working on stuff and I'm playing on the Symetra Tour. So that's really important. If you had something to say to some of these kids, boys and girls, that play competitive golf, what would your one key piece of advice be?
Honestly, I tell, you know, when I do kids clinics and everything, they ask me the same questions, like, you know, how do I get to where you are and what advice would you give me? And honestly, it's just don't get discouraged and stay patient. And because, you know, you keep practicing and having fun with it. Most of all, just have fun. Because if you get too serious about it, you're not going to love it. And that's been key for me, is that when I get too serious about it, I start to not enjoy it as much. And I have to remind myself, like, this is what I love to do. This is what I want to do every day. And just to have fun with it. And when I do that, I notice that I play better regardless.
Awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you have to have balance. It's great to be, you know, playing in a competitive environment like the Symetra Tour or LPJ, of course. But mm-hmm. I think you have to find balance, and you have to have some fun with your friends outside of golf. I mean, I know, you know, you've got girlfriends that you've grown up with for years that maybe some of them don't play golf. So it's kind of nice to just to be able to go and do some stuff and leave the golf course, you know, for a few hours and just go out and have some fun. So, well, you know, Avery, we want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us this morning. I know you got to go to work on your practice round and that, get ready for this weekend. But good luck this weekend on your first tournament of the season. And hopefully, with those drives that you're hitting and putting, I think you're going to have a strong chance this weekend in the field.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate talking to you guys.
Have a great week, honey, and good luck,
right,
playing.
Well,
stay with it and have fun.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for joining us. Take care. All right, that was our very special guest this morning, Symetra Tour player Avery George, just fresh off of some injuries, and she's playing in her first event this weekend, the 2018 Iowa Invitational in Georgia, which she's looking forward to, Cindy. She said that this is one of her favorite courses that she likes to play and kind of fits her eye, so I think she'll do very, very well, and especially hitting the ball as far as she does, I think she's going to leave a few of them in the dust. That's incredible. I just can't believe that. That's an awesome, awesome thing. But anyways, we want to take this opportunity as well, once again, to thank Mike Nichols, Chief Business Officer from the LPGA Symetra Tour, for joining us as well earlier in the program. And Cindy, thank you for all that you do, and keep up the hard work. I mean, you've had the last couple of weeks since you've been off, you've just been plugging away and just doing all kinds of great things. As you say, very famously, spinning plates. I don't know how many more plates you could be able to spin without dropping a few. But now you're going to, I know later in the month, just to let you folks know ahead of time, Cindy's got a do some other things coming up later in the month. So what do you got cooking towards the end of the month that you're not going to be on the show?
Well, I'm exempt into a Legends Tour event in Seattle the first week of June. And I thought, plus there's a Women's U.S. Senior Open coming up, and I have to qualify. And because I need to pay attention to my game, I am going to go play in the Connecticut State Women's Open with all the young children, because I believe I need to go get in tournament ready shape, because like Mike said, you know, you can't be, you know, working in a pro shop and giving golf lessons all day and then be tournament ready. So I plan to get tournament ready so that I can play better. So I'm playing in the Connecticut State Women's Open. Then I've got to fly to Seattle, play in that event. And then we're doing a golf school right after it. So that's what I have to do.
Yeah. Well, keep doing all the great things that you're doing. And I have no doubt that you're going to do very well this season playing as well. And you're right. You've got to get out there and you've got to get tournament ready. So we wish you all the best of luck in that. And I know you'll do very well. Cindy, you're a hard worker, and you've just got the grit and determination to do whatever you set your mind to. So we know you'll do very well. All right. That's going to be it for our show this morning. Again, glad to have Cindy alongside. Certainly missed her the last couple of weeks, so welcome back, Cindy. And thank you, all of the listeners out there as well, for faithfully tuning in each and every week here on the Women of Golf Show. We appreciate it very much. And we'll be back next week with some more great guests on the show, so make sure you tune in. Go to blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf. And if you missed most of this morning's show, go to that link and scroll down to the on-demand section. The recorded version will be available shortly, so you can listen to that. And if you missed any of the previous ones, go there as well. Or if you prefer to listen on some of the other great social media platforms, you can go to iTunes.com Stitcher.com and TuneIn.com. Just type in Women of Golf up in the search key. And again, you can listen on any of those social media platforms. Make sure to reach out to Cindy or I through our emails if you've got any questions or comments about the show, or maybe if you're somebody in the golf industry you want to come on and share some of your thoughts and viewpoints with us, by all means, please reach out. And Cindy's email is cindy@cindymillergolf.com, and mine is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. So on behalf of Cindy Miller, I'm Ted Roderico. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Women of Golf Show, and we'll see you next week right here. God bless everybody. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Ted. Have a great day.